So in relation, I'm sorry for our all too common technological challenges. Okay, we'll begin Bezos Hashem. The paragraph that starts Vahamaskil.
Before we start on the Pesach Bavos, I just wondered if you have anything to say about the holiday of Tu Bishvat. Because it's like this Chinese holiday that my kids, when they were little, always celebrated, but I don't really have any like spiritual like hashkacha or something to make it feel like a real holiday. Do you have any words of wisdom on Tu Bishvat?
What is there to be said about Tu Bishvat? You know what? Let's see. Let's see if we can dedicate some time to it at the end.
Okay.
And meanwhile, I'll hope for Siyata Dishmaya to have what to say about it. Okay. So, 412 in English. If you don't have a sefer, you'll be fine. Page 412 in English. Thank you. If you don't have a sefer, you'll be fine. Okay. So we're in the middle of our discussion about how to apply bitachon to the various areas of life. And what we've been discussing last week was how to apply bitachon in a situation where, when it comes to providing for others, right, we said there's bitachon that's relevant to your own personal sustenance. And then there's the person who has who's responsible for others, whether it's a man of the house who's responsible for the parnasa of his wife and children, whether it's an employer who's responsible for the parnasa of his employees, or whether it's a ruler who's responsible for the parnasa of his subjects. So the Chavis, we'll just recap what we saw last week and then we'll move on. He told us something very interesting, that there's a different allocation. What we saw last week was that there are the money that a person has is not, we say that Hashem decrees how much money every person should get, Rosh Hashanah, for the entire year, whatever it is. So the Chavis Halevis told us something very interesting. He said you have to realize that, you know, naturally a person is making money, he thinks, okay, this is my money. Now the question is, what am I going to do with that money? I'm going to use some of it for myself, I'm going to use some of it for my family, I'm going to use some of it for tzedakah, some of it for investments, etc. So he said, no, you have to realize that the money actually comes with three different allocations. We don't necessarily know where what's what, but actually it's coming in three different envelopes with three different addresses on them. That's right. First is Hashem delivers you a package. This is for you personally. This is your personal sustenance, your personal parnos. Okay? That's yours. Then Hashem says, here's another package. This is not yours. This is for the people who depend on you. Anywhere from the family members that you're supporting to poor people who are getting their tzedakah from you. And then he said, there's the third level, and that's what we're just calling the extras. The extras. He said, now the extras is a very tricky area because let's say I have a person, like many people don't have those extras, right? They have what they need for themselves and what they need to support their family, and that's about it. And they don't really have much beyond that. But for those who do, they have what they need. They have enough to support those who are dependent on them. And then they also have beyond that. So the Chavis HaLevis says, this is a tricky area because here you have no idea what Hashem intends with that. You have no idea what Hashem intends with that. The natural feeling is, hey, this is mine. This is money that I have set aside. But you really have no way of knowing. It could be all kinds of different things that Hashem intends, anywhere from things that are more pleasant to think about to things that are less pleasant to think about. It could be that Hashem is saying, this is a sign of my favor for you. This is. And it could be like we said before, this is intended, Rahman al-Itslan, for the mugger who's going to kill the person who got the money. And this is how Hashem decided to get it to that mugger for whatever his reasons are. So there's no way of knowing that aspect, and many in between, right? Many things in between. Okay. And the Chavis Halev has told us that one of the big mistakes, and this is really what we ended with last week, and we'll take it from here. One of the mistakes that a person might make when it comes to helping others with his money is that he doesn't realize that there's a whole part of money that's given to you for that. So he thinks, this is very good of me that I'm sharing my money with these people. And like we discussed, sometimes you have a person who feels, so certainly when it comes to tzedakah, sometimes that person who feels like even when he cares for his family, it's with a certain like a stingy attitude, like almost like grudgingly. I guess that's a little less common, but it exists. And we discuss when it comes to paying employees, right? So the Chavis Halev said that one of the mistakes that a person can make is that a person really feels like, I gave this person money. Let's talk about poor person in the neighborhood. And Hashem says, really, I intend that this poor person should get $1,000 this month, and I'm passing it through you. Really, maybe Hashem says, I intend for him to get $5,000 this month, but 1,000 of them I'm passing through you. So this person doesn't realize that it's mamish what's going on. Hashem says, here, can you please pass this to him? But he thinks, no. Once he makes the money, see, it came through his business. And this is my money. I'm sharing it. And therefore, the Chavis Halev says, the mistake that happens is that he expects recognition. He expects thanks. He feels over the other person. And he really has that mindset of that without me, this guy would be lost. And the Chavis Halev is telling us it's not true. The money was never yours. Hashem intended it for that person in the first place. He gave you the privilege of being the medium. But don't therefore think that you actually gave him something that's yours. This is a very fundamental hashkafa when it comes to tzedakah. Now, the question was raised last week. I think you raised this question was, okay, I apologize to our computer people. I see that the video is already, again, out of control. We'll see if it resolves itself in a minute or two. The question that was raised last week is, does that mean that when a person gives tzedakah, then I ought to feel good about it? Like you're supposed to mamish relate to it in a technical kind of way. I gave tzedakah. That means that the money was never mine in the first place. And there's no room for me to feel good about myself. So here, I want to address this. It's a fine point, but let's understand it properly. Because the truth is that this is really relevant for all chesed, etc. There's two ways of feeling good about yourself when you did chesed. It can either be very interpersonal, like that person really owes me one. I am responsible for the fact that, you know, this person wasn't hungry this week. That's because of me. If I hadn't been on the scene, or if I hadn't been so good-hearted, this person would have gone hungry, etc. And therefore, this person really does owe me one. Whenever I pass this person in the street, I expect, you know, and when Purim is coming up, I'm expecting a quality mishlach manis. I'm expecting a letter in the mail. I'm expecting all kinds of things, right? So that, the Chavis Halev is telling us, that is one of those mistakes that we're talking about. But there's a different type of good feeling. There's a different type of good feeling that is not only kosher, but it is actually, I'd call it imperative. And that is the feeling of pride in the fact that Hashem chose me, kevi yochel, as a business partner. Hashem chose me to be a part of his chesed enterprise. So, it's not any sort of feeling toward the other person of, hey, you know, look what I did. No, toward you, I didn't really do anything. It's just that I'm very proud and gratified in the fact that Hashem chose me to be his agent. Let's put it this way. You know, we're, it's a little bit of a tangent, but we'll take a step back. You know, this was really a question that there's a classic Gemara. Maybe I've quoted it here in the past. A debate between Turnus Rufus, who was the Roman governor in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Akiva. So Turnus Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva, if your Hashem likes Anim, if he likes the poor, why doesn't he sustain them? So Rabbi Akiva told him, and on the contrary, Turnus Rufus said, you should not be helping the poor because Hashem obviously intended for them to be poor. Why are you going and interfering with Hashem's plan? And Rabbi Akiva answered, here's the way he put it to this Roman, I guess to speak in his language, but let's understand what's behind it as far as it's relevant to us. Rabbi Akiva answered, Hashem made them poor in order to give us a ticket out of Gehenna. In other words, let's translate that into other words. No, it's not true that Hashem intended for them to be poor. But Hashem wants to give us the opportunity for caring. Hashem wants them to get cared for. But Hashem is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to be a part of it. And here are the terms that I think of. I have my own personal terms of thinking of it. Here's how it strikes me. When I was, my father's a very capable person. One of those types of people, they say, two right hands. Okay. So he used to tell us, it was very fun. Like when we would build a sukkah with him, when we were little kids. So he would always tell us, he would like very, very good naturedly, he would say, come, let's go build the sukkah together. If you help me, it'll take 3 hours. If I do it myself, it'll take an hour. Right? But he had us help him. He didn't discourage. He encouraged us to help him. What's the idea? Why? Because sukkahs is a family thing. Sukkahs is a value. And I'm going to be investing time and effort into it. And I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be involved in what I'm involved in. I want you to, there's also the time, the togetherness. But besides that, we're making a sukkah. I want you to be a part of making the sukkah, right? Even though it just complicates me. I don't need your help. On the contrary, I could do a better job myself. And even more than that, I'll probably undo whatever you did afterwards once you're asleep and do it again, right? I'll unscrew it and screw it back in, right? But I'm building a sukkah. I want you to be a part of it. So Hashem's greatest activity is chesed. This is what he is most busy with in terms of conducting the world. That is the overarching mida that is in play. People hear that, they sometimes wonder, is that really true? Chesed is the prevalent mida in the world. There's so much suffering in the world. So that we say, we refer back to Shara Bechina. You have to learn how to see things correctly. But that's not our subject right now. But in case you think I'm just pulling one over you, we have Shiurim, go back. We've talked about it at length. Okay. Whatever the case is, Hashem is basically telling us, I want you, kviyachol, chesed is my great career. Chesed is my godly career. That's what I'm busy with all the time. You're part of the family. I want you to be a part of the family business. You, kviyachol, are my family. I want my children to be in the business. And therefore, I'm going to leave areas. Believe me, I can do a better job. I can care for these people better. But I'm leaving areas for you to join me to be a part of my chesed activities. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you the koiches to do it. I'll give you the means to do it, but it's because I want you to be a part of my business. I want you to be involved with me in this because you're part of the family, because this is part of what makes you similar to me. So I'm doing it on a macro. You can't provide Israel with rain. That leave that to me. But here, I'm leaving a few people in your vicinity that you can help care for. Some of them are poor people from the area. Some of them are people aren't necessarily poor, but you can help them in various ways. And some of them are your immediate family members, who also, Hashem says, I'm leaving a portion of their care for you. And you know what? You know how I'm caring for that child or for that person? By putting you in their life. I'm putting you in their life as my means of caring for that person. So if a person thinks of it in those terms, a person should be very proud of that status. He should be appreciate that status. Appreciate that Hashem put me into this position because he sees in me, kaviyachol, a worthy partner, junior partner, very junior partner, right? But he sees in me, kaviyachol, a worthy partner. And I feel very privileged of the fact that Hashem entrusted me with this. And Hashem said, my care for this person, my care for this child, my care for this needy person, I'm entrusting that to you. I want you to, kiviyachol, have a part in my job. This is something that should fill a person with pride. Vayid bali bar vidak yash. Feeling about having that schus, definitely a person should be having that good feeling. But that good feeling should be coming in that manner, not in the manner of, I am your savior. I hope that's clear. I have a question.
What if you have a person who's on the receiving end? So Hashem has not selected them to give them additional money that they can give in Maaser and help other people. That's a shame. How's that person supposed to feel about that?
Question is, what about the person who's on the receiving end? So let's just take a step back and say, the Chavisam of this kind of alluded to this earlier. Let's take a step back and say that this is just one example of many, 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 many examples where Hashem has different roles for different people. Now, when it comes to the giver, it's easier to see that I'm functioning as a clash of a role, right? But we have to understand that the person on the receiving end is also functioning in a clash of a role, but in a very different kind of way. What's his role? What's his tafkin? So, first of all, the acceptance, right? It's yes, here it's an avoid of a different nature. It's an avoid of a different nature. The acceptance, being able to accept, this is where Hashem put me, right? And to be able to take that with grace. There's the avoid of akara satoiv. But even here, we saw the Chavis Havav is qualified. Remember what we saw a couple of weeks, the counterintuitive aspect where the Chavis Havav said, as the receiver, you also should not relate to the giver as your savior. And that is part of the chat, part of the success, that's part of the hatzlacha in being on the receiving end, to be able to see through the giver to Hashem and say, I owe the giver akara satoiv. Very, very much within the parameters of akara satoiv, not and drawing the line between that and I have to kiss up to this person, I have to make sure to maintain their graces. No, none of that. None of that. Akara satoiv because you have to be a mensch. But beyond that, what is actually the source of my this benefit? It's Hashem. Now I have to realize that that's no less of a hatzlacha, that's no less of a great role than the giver who is the one who's doing the giving. It's another role of serving Hashem. And the truth is that most of us have both in our lives. Most of us have both in our lives in different ways. It's not just money, and it's not absolute. And these are both avoidances that we have to learn to do. Question.
Thank you for the comment. Something the Rav said a few minutes ago about your father having two right hands, and it all relates back to you can't have two right hands. Because the two right hands look like that. You can't do anything. You have to have a right hand and a left hand in order to create. And the same thing here, where you have to have the right hand giver and the left hand the taker in order to create.
Oh, you bring out a hush of a point. A person, basically, to boil down what you're saying, is that a person really has to develop both skills. That's right. These are all areas of shleimus. To be able to know how to do both. To be able to know how to do both. To be able to know how to be, like we said before, the concept of being on the giving end as Avodas Hashem is a much more famous concept. Is much more said about it. But the idea of being on the receiving end as an Oyved Hashem, in to really appreciate the Avodas Hashem and the challenge and the opportunity for greatness in knowing how to receive like an Eved Hashem. Okay. We move on. Vamaskil. So he says, now the wise person, you know, the person who has his perspectives correct. So Noyheg Vishloishes Haponim Aladerchanichoina Litoyoser Loilomad Bitchoinoy. He says when it comes to his extra money, so he will deal with it in a way that will serve him well in terms of his ruchnius, in terms of his gashmius, and also in terms of the bitachon. B'mashiyesh b'yad elikim itarfoy v'kinyonoy, in terms of appreciating that everything that I have is being given to me by Hashem for various purposes. Some of it is for my own sustenance. Some of it is for to be supporting others. Some of it is the extras, and I don't know what Hashem has in mind, but I'm going to deal with those extras in a way that services Hashem. Okay. He says as follows. He says the person with the true perspective feels more secure, meaning the person right now knows I have $1 million in my bank account. So he says the person with the full bitachon, his attitude is, where am I going to have food from in 3 months from now? So he's giving us a very interesting perspective here. From the $1 million in my bank account? I don't know, maybe, maybe not. I know that Hashem hasn't worked out. I have $1 million in my bank account, but I have less faith in that than the fact that I know that my parnos in 3 months from now, and a month from now, and 2 months from now, Hashem hasn't worked out. Is it these $1 million? Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't really matter. I'll see then what Hashem has in mind. He says, these $1 million in my bank account, I don't know what they're intended for. Are they intended for my basic parnosa for the long term? Is it something extra that Hashem gave to me? Is it something I'm ultimately meant to use? Is it something that ultimately is supposed to move elsewhere? I don't know. Doesn't really concern me. I'm going to move from one day to the next, from 1 week to the next, just a moment, one week to the next, using my money in the way that Hashem would want me to, in a responsible way in terms of caring for myself, in terms of caring for my family, and readily doing whatever else I need to do with my money toward avodas Hashem, and not putting too much emotional energy into, wow, look at all this money I have on the side. What's with my future? Hashem's guiding my future, these $1 million, whatever he decides. Question.
A person goes for a mortgage instead of banking, then is looking at that way and
This is another particular when it comes to the questions of bitachon ishgavlus. So I'm going to add that to the list of the various things that have been brought up. Is investing in a mortgage instead of renting. Taking on a debt, right?
Well, or people think that with mortgage you
can pay own
less
it.
Money than if you're renting. You don't know.
Right. So I'm going to add that to the list of, you're going to say something? Very good. This is coming from a place of seeing the ways of the world. Mrs. Shvei is pointing out that it's a harder nisayon to be rich than to be poor. You know what? People go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they would ask for a bracha to become rich. He always refused to give such a, he said, I don't believe that's a bracha. I give you a bracha that you should have whatever you need. So as for your question, so I'm going to add that to the list of other gray things, such as call them gray. Well, things that people wonder about, such as things that have come up, putting away money for savings, retirement plans, health insurance, life insurance. The question was raised the other week. Penny pinching, etc. Really, the broad answer to all these things is that it depends where it's coming from. If it's coming from a place of desperation, of trying to make sure that you have all fronts covered, etc., it's a lack of bitachon. If it's coming from a place of Hashem expects me to make a reasonable, responsible cheshbon, and I'm doing it without a sense of I have to make sure I'm covered, but this is what I understand to be the reasonable, responsible steps to take, then it's not a steer to bitachon. This is important. Reb Shimshon Pinkus would emphasize that. He said, we don't want our bitachon, our concept of bitachon and nishtadlus, to start running off into halachas of particulars, like this here, this not, because it really depends on each person. Bitachon is the sense that I am in Hashem's hands, and He expects me to use good sense to make responsible decisions. If I'm doing that with a calm, secure sense of ultimately He's going to take care of it, Hashem, you want me to cover for things so it shouldn't be nisim. This is what I deem as sensible and responsible. When it's coming from a place of how do I make sure what's going to be in 15 years from now, and how am I going to deal with this and how am I going to deal with that, then it's a lack. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what yes, what not, and it might depend on the individual. I hope that kind of answers the question. That's right.
Friends told me it's better to do this than that, so neighbors have told me that I'm not like listening to others. Nobody knows.
So taking off the nervousness, definitely. That is definitely when we're talking about bitachon. That's really step number one.
You shouldn't come onto a bus with a dump, right? So what is that?
But what's the question?
So what is we doubt we should have karnas, so that we shouldn't have to come onto a bus of the dump. The one that giving to the poor person or to giving to the needy it's not like he's not saying it's coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he's saying it's coming from a person.
Okay.
That gives it to him.
You're raising a chashuva point. Let's give it a moment, and Blina, we'll get to it. But coming back to your question, step number one is taking off the nervous edge. Now it's a tall order, right? But that is step number one. The difference between the that's what the Chazon Ish stresses. Some other stresses that the difference between the person with bitachon and without bitachon in most cases won't be in what they're doing. It'll be in where is it coming from? What's going on inside? The person without bitachon is, of course I have to do it because otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. Whereas the person with bitachon is saying, really, I don't have to do it. Just Hashem said, I want you to go through the motions of doing the ishtavlis. This is the responsible ishtavlis. I'm going to do it. Now, in terms of, should I do it because other people told me? So you know what? Sometimes making a reasonable, responsible, sensible decision has to do with taking counsel from people with experience and people with but if it's just like, well, this is what everybody's doing because everyone's panicking, so I'm going to do it too, then not. So also that it's always individual. Part of reasonable, sensible, responsible that we keep stressing is often talking to people with experience. So if a person says, this is what my father always advised, if you say, well, if you realize later in life, well, my father was a very edgy person and he was always worried about every eventuality, you say, I don't necessarily have to do this. But if it's because, you know, your father had a good head on his shoulders and he had a good take on things, and you say, then it would be a responsible thing to do, so do it. Now, coming back to Mrs. Shvei's Ha'ara, we daven for Panasa, we daven not to have to come on to Matnas Basavidon. So how does that work with what we've been discussing about knowing how to be on the receiving end, on that being a chash of a role, on it being great to be the person in position to be the boss of Adam who's giving. So let's stress, this is like this with many areas. We also daven to Hashem not to bring us lidei nisoyin, not to give us nisyonos. On the other hand, nisyonos are really what give meaning to our life. Meaning, we daven for the parnasa, it's part of our hishtablus toward parnasa. But even when we daven for things, we daven with a certain built-in caveat that Hashem, you may decide that something else is better for my spiritual growth. You may decide, you might know that something else is better for me, even though we daven for what we feel we want, what we feel we need, we're encouraged to daven for that. Because often, Hashem actually does want to give us that, just that he's waiting for us to daven. But we always daven with, in the background, if you decide something else is better, I'm going to take it. Now, this is a chash of a nekud. This is a chash of a point, and I'm happy it was raised, because this really is a general perspective to have when we daven. We're supposed to daven for anything we want, and certainly for things that we need. I'm going to add things that we perceive as needs, right? But it's always in the background with being ready to accept if Hashem says, yeah, that's right, no. Why would it be no? Because I know better than you what you need, right? My kids often daven to us for an added hour and a half at bedtime. And if you're ready davening for an ace, so if they can get all kinds of Shabbos treats in that hour and a half. And usually the answer to both is no. The Shabbos treats will be on Shabbos in the daytime hours, right? So the way I try to think of it is that, you know, we put in a tefillah for Hashem and try to picture Hashem kaviyachol smiling and saying, I heard. Now let me make the decision. Okay? That's always a response. Hashem is listening attentively. We have to daven because very often a person might say, well, look, you know, if it's good for me, then why do I need a daven? That's what Hashem will do for you. Tell me that Hashem is going to do what's best for me anyways. No. Very often, what's best, and in very many cases, what's best is for you to get it after you daven. Right? Hashem has it ready for you. It says, this is part of your package, but you have to access it. You have to open the package by davening, because that's actually a part of the program. You daven, you connect with me, and I'll hand it to you. Come ask me for it. Come ask me for it, and I'll hand it to you. That's what I want to do. That's my plan. But sometimes Hashem says, this is not a good idea for you. We have to be ready to take that. We have to be ready to take that. That's why I might even suggest, at least as an exercise, that when you put in a personal tefillah, whether it's at the end of Shemini Esrei, or whether it's just in general, you put in a personal tefillah, you daven for something specific, and like we said, daven for everything. Nothing is too petty to daven for. But add in the words, Atoiv be'inecha aseh. And I'm asking for this and this and this. You do what you deem best. To actually articulate that. To actually articulate that. It gives your tefillah a higher quality. More emunah. And you're impressing it on yourself also.